Hello, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we are...
Mega City Film Club!
We are back. Conrad, how are things in Los Angeles?
Oh, you know, another big day. It's winter in Los Angeles, so it like rains about a quarter as much as it ever did in England, basically. But, you know, and it's like, 60 degrees. So everybody's wearing giant parkas and things like that. I guess maybe like 15 or something. I forget what it is in Celsius, but like, you know, not as cold as everyone acts like it is, but still. Right. So we live on, you know.
And once again, your cat's sitting for your brother. So
yes, I'm sorry. And this guy is, he's very vocal today. So I'm sorry if you get some stray meows and the sound of him destroying furniture. There's nothing I can do because if I locked him out of the room, it would be much louder as he tried to velociraptor his way in. So better not, a path better not gone down.
So this is episode 290 because we have been to the movies again. Tell us how we begin with...
Movie one, Captain America, Brave New World.
Excellent stuff. And for another of our shared interests, probably a good thing they changed the title from New World Order, I think.
I mean, you know, it's just like they're both whatever. They're both like these... Conspiracy theory terms and things like that, you know. I think that New World Order describes the meta plot of the movie is a little bit more with the whatever treaty that they go over and things that would be a New World Order in the technical sense.
So this movie, directed by Julius Ohner, written by Rob Edwards, Malcolm Spellman, Dallan Musson, Julius Ohner, and Peter Glan, starring Anthony Mackie, Harrison Ford, Carl Lumley, Shira Haas, and Tim Blake Nelson. Now, synopsis and mild spoiler warnings ahead. Conrad, Sam Wilson is settling into his role as the new Captain America. What's happening in this movie?
Man. Okay, so I guess... I haven't watched many of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, but I think in that one, because Steve Rogers died in the events of Avengers Endgame, you know, whatever, he got re-aged and things like that. The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
That one was all about eventually. Sam Wilson taking over the mantle of Captain America, which is what he has now. So he is sort of a hybrid because he's still also the Falcon, basically, because he's still got wings, flies, has wing-based powers, things of that nature. And I think he does a pretty good job. I don't know. Like, I think I was worried that a lot of the movie would be people saying, you aren't Captain America. That's not you. And there's a little bit of that, but they don't go as crazy with it as they could have, I think.
We'll also say that Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross is the new US president. And as you say, they're trying to do a great big world peace treaty to deal with the celestial body left over from the Eternals movie, the one that nobody saw. And
go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, for some reason, Japan seemed to be the most likely ones to mess things up, which probably seems like a safe enemy for a movie.
Safe politically. Did have me Googling afterwards, like, does Japan have fighter jets? Oh, yeah, okay. You know, fair enough. Yeah, they got to get, this island that's like what, the leftover baddie from the Eternals movie 3 years ago or whatever that hasn't been mentioned since and is the prime source of adamantium, Eamon. Uh-huh. Ooh, there's a lot of it there. There's got to be at least one small Canadian man skeleton worth of adamantium on that island.
Must be at least, yes. Who will be that small Canadian man? We'll find out. Although, as Ryan Reynolds said last time we did a movie show, they'll keep making you do these till you're 100.
Yeah, you know, we'll figure it out.
I also say spoilers that I don't think this is a spoiler because it's in all the trailers, that President Ross is struggling with some anger issues and a certain, I've put it in our notes as a code red. basically.
Oh, my.
don't make him grumpy and angry. And seeing as how he's played by Harrison Ford, who is, at the best of times, rather prickly, it seems. That's a challenge.
Absolutely.
So we got Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson. How was he?
I thought he was fine.
Right.
You know? I think he does a decent, a good job with the action stuff. A lot of while there is a lot of he's in this suit and is very much sort of just a CG, a face plastered on a CGI frame or whatever. There is some jumping around a real fighting kind of stuff that it takes the stunts. And I think he does, the acting parts reasonably well. A lot of it's sort of talking about being filling these big shoes or standing strong against authority and stuff like that. And I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it, I guess. It was a decent performance. What did you think, Eamon?
I thought Anthony Mackie was like yourself. Like you say, he's fine. I was less interested in Danny Ramirez as the new Falcon as they brought in. Mm-hmm. And their partnership just made you sort of long for that natural friendship between Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers. So I was less interested in that. Anthony Mackie's fine. Harrison Ford, strangely uncharismatic, as one of the most charismatic movie stars of all time. As the president. Carl Lumbly, I think, is very interesting, but doesn't get much to do. Likewise, Tim Blake Nelson is playing the bad guy, also just doesn't really get much, and what he's trying to do seems a bit weird and obscure,
He's trying to, doing the evil genius thing and stuff
Yeah.
And, it's not a lot of, I don't know. He's like the leader, I guess, classic Hulk villain.
Classic Hulk villain, the leader, yes.
Who's supposed to have a big forehead, but he just kind of has a messed up forehead, basically. He's supposed to be this very Machiavelli or has all the angles covered and stuff like that. And I think, it's okay. I don't know. It just it says the easy movie version of that, where it's less he's got intricate plans and more just he's somehow able to get every place. Suddenly he's just that, he just shows up somewhere. It's like, oh, I guess. Yeah.
And of course, in the comics, as you've said, the leader has this gamma irradiated super inflated cranium. Here, Tim Blake Nelson appears to be auditioning for Midden Face McNulty.
It's Mitten Face or I think it was Angstrom Levy from the Invincible comics, I guess, sort of looked like this in later incarnations. But yeah, just kind of, visible brain ridges on the old dome there, Not the best character effects, I would say, for that, I guess.
I'm going to want us to sort of shy away, I think, from some of the fuss about the US president having an Israeli security advisor, or the comic book character that she's playing, Sabra, who's very controversial, I understand, Conrad. But yeah. I will say that the actress, Shira Haas, who's playing another Black Widow, basically,
mm-hmm.
And I know I've put this in our notes, but this is a movie full of extremely large buff men. She is so little.
Yeah, she's just a very tiny person in comparison to all these, she's before even the Hulk shows up, she's waist high on half of these dudes. And it makes it hard to put her, for me to put her physically in context with everyone in the movie. It's but yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
And I guess necessary just because of, or I don't know. Yeah. And the political stuff's weird. Sabra is a very weird Marvel character because I don't think she even shows up that much, honestly. I think Contest of Champions and Hulk yells at her a couple of times, and that's kind of it, I guess.
Right.
As far as I know.
We get towards the climax of the movie, and the thing that we've all been waiting to happen happens, and Captain America has to fight, a literal red menace, I guess. 25 years of cinematic destruction of American monuments, Conrad. I know this gets written about by film people a lot, but another White House gets totaled and that Washington Monument takes another bash as
well. Well, you know, honestly, I'm feeling that at this point, all of those are old hats for me, Eamon. White House is, you know, white, like after Independence Day, White House is old hat. I've definitely seen Washington Monument taken out a couple times. I think Olympus Has Fallen is great for that. I believe like a plane, you know, machine guns it in half or something like that. Like I'm actually like for me, and I guess spoilers, but the big destruction is they take out the cherry blossoms on the Potomac, which is like an iconic and like lovely piece of nature and a gift to the U.S. from Japan, actually. So sort of part of a larger, you know, listen, if you're looking for metaphors in Captain America, Brave New World with the actual plot going on there, I guess that could be it, you know, like,
yeah,
is so much is the president trying to finagle a deal with Japan and in doing so ends up destroying a symbol of America, of U.S. Japanese unity, but whatever. I was like, I was not pleased when they destroyed the cherry blossoms. I was like, ah, you guys are jerks.
They really wanted us to know about cherry blossom in this movie. And of course it's the emotional connection, I think, between Thunderbolt Ross and his estranged daughter, Betty.
Yeah, they brought Eowyn back. Good times.
Briefly brought her back at the end for a scene that was supposed to be incredibly emotional and was not for some reason.
I don't think Liv Tyler's bringing her A game, honestly, to this movie, which, I mean, makes sense because she was probably there for a day, but, you know, still. Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was that my understanding is that because they filmed on location in D.C., and we're there for like basically the 2 week period that the cherry blossoms bloom. Basically, you know, if you're doing that and you're a filmmaker, you're a fool to not try to like use it as much as you can, because it does look very nice. And if you're doing Japanese scenes, then you can use that to turn places in Washington, D.C. into Japan pretty easily, is what it seemed like to me.
It seems. So Anthony Mackie is the new Cap. He has a literal new wingman. There's a bunch of characters that I wasn't interested in. There's a whole amount of stuff happening. We're almost at war with Japan, or you're almost at war with Japan. And
we bring you along, Eamon. That's how politics works.
Is Jenny Agutter still on the World Security Council from Winter Soldier? Probably.
It could be anything at this point in terms of the state of play in MCU politics or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of stuff, including Cherry Blossom, gets destroyed. So where does this movie rate on the Conrad Fine scale?
Oh, you've called me out, Eamon.
Sorry.
But indeed. Like so many of these MCU movies especially are like, you know, they're middle of the road. Like they aren't like, you know, there's such a wide breadth to compare things about. Certainly last year we saw some real dogs, Eamon, on this show. We documented seeing some real terrible, like painfully terrible movies, you know? And I think we've also in our time seen some really great ones as well. And so with the awareness that of how bad movies can be, a lot of times things just end up being like, you know, yeah, it's like, okay. Like, I don't know. I would wait to I would wait for streaming to see Captain America Brave New World for sure. Like there's no need to rush out and see it. I did kind of like that they just tried to do some things with the larger world of the, you know, of this Marvel Cinematic Universe they've been working on and stuff like that. But there's also not really anything to like recommend this movie in my opinion. Like there's not like, oh, you've got to rush out to see Harrison Ford, you know, give a really great performance. You know, you don't want to go, like there's no I went till he went to like, yeah, to rush out so that they can see Giancarlo Esposito, like, you know, do his tough guy thing again, you know.
I've forgotten that they bring him in to do the bad guy again. Yes. Another guy that they're going to be doing that until he's 100.
I feel like he's into, I feel like he's doing because he wants to.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah, right.
Like if I could be like 60 and have an action movie resurgence, I feel like I'd take that as well.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Putting his grandchildren through college quite easily and happily. Yes.
But like, yeah. I'll also say that we talked about the leader's lack of comic book thing. I would have really liked if Giancarlo Esposito and his team, they're like the Serpent Society or something like that. I could have done with some more snake styling on these guys, as opposed to just having them be like kind of random mercenaries. You know, you put them in like a snakeskin jacket. Perfecto, you know, but like, here we are. But yeah, you know, fine, inoffensive. Okay. That's like so many of these ones, that's the best that I can give you for this sort of movie. I mean, I'm sorry. How about you? What do you think?
I was really bored, Conrad.
That's fair.
I was so bored by this movie. I cannot summon the enthusiasm for the MCU at the moment. And I'm missing some of those big charisma players. I think it's perhaps not too much of a surprise that Robert Downey Jr. is coming back, you know, in some form in the future, because this franchise needs a lift somehow or other.
Yeah. I mean, as like Anthony Mackie was okay, but he's not carrying it the way that like Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. was carrying the previous ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he worked perfectly alongside Chris Evans, but I just thought this movie was bad, Conrad. I thought it was badly written, and the CGI wobbled in places, and I just didn't care. I didn't care at all. I won't be watching it on streaming.
Yeah. I mean, I would like, listen, I 100% agree with you, like, or am with you on your criticisms, you know. Yeah. Now I'm so burned by, like, the really bad ones that, like, I feel like I'll push up some of these more lower level, like, semi-competent ones. But, like, I don't know. Something's got to happen with these MCU movies, Eamon, and I don't think it's, like, and I hope that, like, I don't think Thunderbolts will, but maybe Fantastic Four in the summer. I don't know. At my screening, we had trailers for all the superhero movies, of course. And, you know, and it just struck me again that, like, I'm really excited for Superman, and like the Superman trailer, like, makes me excited to see that movie. And I don't really feel that way about Fantastic Four First Steps, I guess.
No.
I'd like to be excited, but like, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. The MCU has to really pull one out to get back in my good, be back fully in the good books now. Cause I feel like at this point, I mean, as evidenced by the, by the tardiness of this episode, versus the release
to this one.
Indeed. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they can recapture a thing where it's appointment viewing, but they've certainly lost it in the last, like, since Endgame, I'd say.
Oh, well, fingers crossed for Superman with, of course, Crypto the Superhound and the Fantastic Four film. I've got no enthusiasm for Thunderbolts, but we'll see. We'll find out. Right, Conrad, take us into something a little bit more interesting. Take us to...
Thrill 2, Daredevil, Born Again.
Created by the showrunner Dario Scardapane, Matt Corman and Chris Ord, starring Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio, Deborah Wall and Eldon Henson. 3 episodes so far on the Disney Plus channel. We've both seen the first 3 episodes.
Yes.
We talked about a little bit about some of the Marvel Disney shows. Now, you pointed out quite rightly that we have done the collected Born Again Daredevil comic on this podcast. So yes. It made us fair game to watch the TV show. That's the theory, anyway.
For sure. Hey, why not? You know, we're captains of our own ship, Eamon. It's fine. You know?
This follows on from the Netflix Daredevil series. Matt Murdock has given up being Daredevil and he's just concentrating on his legal practice. Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, is New York mayor, and the two, of course, inevitably are going to conflict and collide in some way. What do you make of the first three episodes of this show, Conrad?
I think it's really good. The first episode, I think, has one really good fight of Daredevil versus Bullseye, and then does a lot about the fallout from that fight, which I think is interesting. And then it's been a lot of mostly just a lot of like courtroom intrigue and like political machinations. And those are fine subjects for a television show, you know?
Yeah. I think this is more like it. I think this is terrific so far. Yeah. As you say, with the Daredevil Netflix show, of course, it was famous for some of its prolonged, brutal, and possibly filmed as one takers or made to look like one takers fight scenes. And of course, this one doesn't disappoint with a sort of brutal opening fight against Bullseye and then gets even more interesting after that when it gets into the legal dramas, it seems.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the courtroom turnabout stuff, you know, like revealing this evidence and that sort of thing, which is always fun. And I think, you know, generally I do enjoy courtroom stuff in a piece of Daredevil media, because I think it gets forgotten a lot of times, or something that, like, you know, as you do more superhero stuff, obviously Secret Identity stuff fades into the background. And I think that, like, you know, while I'm not the world's greatest Daredevil scholar, certainly, the four aspects of the Daredevil character are, like, you know, blind superhero, lawyer, Catholic, unlucky in love. Like, my understanding is those are your tent poles. And so you've got to kind of, and they've, like, hinted at the Catholicism a little bit on the show so far. And I think anyone can see that we're just in the wind up for the unlucky in love bit three episodes in before it all comes crashing down in an episode or two.
And Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock and Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin have shared one memorable diner scene together so far. Mm-hmm. And it just lit up the screen, really, didn't it?
Absolutely. I love Vincent D'Onofrio generally, actually. He's one of my favorite actors, and he's great as a Wilson Fisk. Vanessa, blah.
Yeah.
I'll bring peace to the city. Sort of. He's gruff, but I think it's a really he does a really great characterization of it, and you know, his scenes are very much him, like, just kind of like, not even really, maybe he'll like punch a table or something, but just sort of him being present and very threatening in that presence, I think, is what's really the key part of that character and what he does really well with it, I think.
While we're talking about the actors, I'll just say, I don't know if you've seen this one, Conrad, but Eldon Henson is playing Matt's partner, Foggy Nelson. He's in a sort of beardy look, and I don't know if you've seen the suggestion, but you and I have a favorite American attorney, Mark Bankston, and if they ever need somebody to play him in the movie, Eldon Henson seems to be the man.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up now. I could definitely see it.
I did notice from the Netflix show to the start of this show, we get a little bit more CGI Daredevil zipping around on his grappling hook with his billy club and so on, which I felt strangely, although it's completely comic accurate, I felt strangely slightly detracted from the very sort of gritty street level vigilante stuff of the Netflix show. Thankfully, of course, because he's put the costume away, that's all settled down for the time being. What did you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. In the end, like, you know, it's a challenge I think comic books face generally, is that, like, once you, like, there's a difference between running around on rooftops and swinging through the skyscrapers, right?
Yeah.
Like, even terms of, like, both look and, like, metaphorically, I guess. and, you know, in visual media, just how you do it, you know, yeah. like obviously they're going to have to CGI it, you know, do either do like green screen, like stunts and green screens or God knows what, or just like completely fake it. And like one way or another, that's different than actually having a guy jumping from one part of a set to another or something.
Yeah.
And I think that especially, you know, in the end, like a TV show just doesn't have the budget to really make it look super good, I guess. And as we mentioned in Captain America, sometimes big movies don't have the budget to make it look good, you know? So it's sort of hard to throw too many stones, I guess.
On a more grounded note, we'll nod to the late actor Kamar de los Reyes, who plays Hector Ayala, the White Tiger, in the first three episodes. And the creator, George Perez, gets a nod in the credits. I don't know how Marvel works with these sort of character creators. I hope they all get some small recompense at least nowadays, as opposed to the none they previously got. But at least they get mentioned in the credits as well.
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know. I feel like that's the least they can do in a lot of these situations is just, it's the fate of modern comics, I guess, is that you're mostly existing to create source material for the TV shows and movies that actually make the money or something. So yeah. I guess the least they could do is credit them, to say nothing of like paying them appropriately, you know?
Because as you say, Conrad, and as we approach another 2000 AD podcast reaching 1995, one thing we have learned is that comic book movies and TV properties don't sell any more comics.
I mean, you know, there's so many other things for kids, like so much of my discussion of 2000 AD is this sort of thing is like. It's a niche of a niche, sort of, you know, and like, it's so wild that, you know, we have these movies that are like, you know, big mainstream, my dad knows there's a Red Hulk now, that sort of thing, you know, and, but in the end, like, you know, no one reads, you know, the source stuff is obscured, like no one takes the time to read it. And so I'll always remember, in the run-up to the Avengers Infinity War stuff, like blowing people's minds that in the comics Thanos is killing everybody to impress the sexy physical embodiment of death, basically, you know, and just how that stuff gets cleaned up or changed a little bit to reach a wider audience and stuff.
Absolutely. So, Daredevil Born Again on Disney Plus. I confess I not really had much interest in the Marvel TV shows after WandaVision. There have been a bunch of them, including the one where the Kingpin got shot in the face, and I noticed they sort of hand waved that away here for this one. But this is back on form again, and I'm guessing we're both hooked for the rest of this series.
Absolutely. I'm trying to watch, like, it's, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV these days, so it's hard for me to do it, but I'm definitely trying to keep up with this. I would say, like, between Daredevil Born Again and the Penguin show, actually, it's a pretty good period for comic book TV shows, I guess. Although I think in both of them, at least at this point, it seems like the key is to not have them actually be about superheroes, basically. Like, just have them be like a courtroom drama or like, you know, mob politics, basically. And if there is some, you know, if they're superhero associated, then that's okay. But, you know, an actual person in a costume should maybe not, is not the focus, you know?
Yeah. I suppose Matt Murdock is going to go through the ringer again before he born again.
I mean, we see it. We saw it a little bit at the end of the third episode, I guess, sort of that sort of like staggering highs to you know, what's sure to bring him to incredible depths. And like I said, yeah, like, you know, again, not the greatest Daredevil scholar, but I know that, like, oh, like, Matt Murdock seems to be involved in a happy relationship, like, is basically Like literally just a car driving towards a cliff, you know, like that. Or sorry, like a train driving toward a bridge that's out, basically. Nothing can stop it. It's about to go. Everything's about to go wrong. That's just how it goes, you know.
To quote a reference that you made in a previous episode, Conrad, I wonder if we're going to get a Surf Dracula and that this is all going to build up to him putting the costume back on in the final episode of the season.
I mean, Surf Dracula is about Daredevil. You know, like that original tweet is about those Netflix shows, you know. Yeah. Yeah, and how I think literally, like, yeah, he gets the suit in the last episode of the original of the first season of Daredevil or something like that, yeah. You know. And so it wouldn't surprise me. And like again, like it's fine, you know. I don't know, like because he's had suit time and sort of starts off with it. You can sort of look to that, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine like. I'd take bets for how long it is before he's, you know, like at one point does he do some kind of masked crime fighting, you know, when I guess a big part or part of the opening thing was that like part of the helmet's broken and he's like his Daredevil helmet's broken. He's carrying around like a broken off horn and like, you know, does that how that gets reforged or something and that all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we're in a timeline for it. Definitely. You could place bets for when it's going to happen and it will. But yeah, again, like all these, you know, I think of them as Netflix shows, even though they're Disney Plus shows, but like Daredevil's ultimate Surf Dracula always, you know?
So Captain America, Brave New World, personally don't bother. Certainly mm-hmm. don't get it before streaming. It's a bit of a meh or a fine from Conrad. But meh. Daredevil Born Again seems to be the real deal. Get on board this one because this one's great fun.
Absolutely.
So at this stage of the podcast, we normally turn to the activity or lack of activity at Space Spinner 2000. But
oh, no.
Woohoo.
Yeah, Space Spinner's back. Ah! Yeah, we're
back with weekly episodes.
Plugging away weekly episodes of Space Spinner and Big Meg 1, pushing our way through. I think if when this comes out, we'll be doing a quick redo episode. So looking at our redoing our fourth episode from way back in 1977 as sort of a in-between year thing. And then at last on to 1995 and the horrors within. We recorded a couple episodes of 95 and it's a challenging period, but I think our commentary will be good. I think it'll be good episodes.
No, because surely 95, everything good's on the horizon. There's going to be a movie, Stallone's in it. Everything is going to go swimmingly.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's all coming back. We're going to get your mom's jewelry back from the pawn shop. All these sorts of things. It's all coming up roses as soon as that movie comes out. And once again, Dredd becomes not just big and, you know, when Dredd becomes big with Americans, you know, and we're just in the Judge Dredd business. Imagine. Yeah. Well, of course, we don't have to imagine because it happened, you know, 30 years ago. And we've been living in that history since then.
So spacespinner2000.com, back with weekly episodes. You've also got yes. the Big Meg 1 where you do the magazine issues. You've, of course, got a slight change of format and change in volume and numbering to deal with in 1995 as well.
Yeah, 95 changes volume. You go to volume 3, but it still stays fortnightly. It's right. 96 when it goes to monthly and also and just like levels of original content starts to plummet as well. It's going to be that will actually be challenging just in terms of like, you know, what we're doing on that show. But I'll figure it out. Eli and I will work through and have good episodes. We'll talk about something.
Okay. So spacespinner2000.com, bigmeg1.com, it's back in your podcast feed. Happy times. And the 2080 listeners turn their ears back towards you, Conrad, and they're all delighted.
Oh, thank you. You know, we try our best. And yeah, I think this will be good year. And I'm so happy to be back. Honestly, it's something that I've really missed over our hiatus. And so glad to be back to it.
And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to my book club episode about the British comic Viz, but there's a request for you to add a Geordie accent to your repertoire on Space Minute 2000.
See, I feel like the English accents I do are very region-free, I guess. Like, because like it's like actually when I've heard English people do do American Southern accents, and they sort of will go, you know, just as you know, we'll go from the Georgia Delta to like Frontier Prospector, sort of in the course of a sentence and stuff like that. I don't know if I could do Jody Reet. Like, it's like I looked up a YouTube video on it, but I can do it in my head, but I can't get it out of my mouth at this point. I'd have to practice.
Oh well, we shall see. So
Dunt, yeah, I don't know.
Space Spinner is back. Fantastic. So, as always, if you have a film that you can link to British comics, if no one else can help you, and if you can find us, then maybe you can hire the Megacity Film Club. And you can find us at megacitybookclub.com, email mcbcpodcast@gmail.com, find Conrad at...
Yeah, spacespinner2000@gmail.com. Just, you know, look at your podcast feed. Ah, oh, we're spinning.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we have been
Megacity Film Club.